Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Welcome, welcome. This is Marnie Swedberg. I'm excited to be here with you today and with our guest, Laura West, to talk about laughing out loud, when, why, and how. During this program, you're going to come to discover why laughter is so important, where laughter comes from, and why God gave it to us. Also, when we should laugh out loud, and there are times, whether or not we should laugh in the face of sickness, failure, or defeat, how to laugh when it seems no one else is laughing, or even when we are grieving, the difference between joy and happiness. We're going to talk about the difference between joy and happiness and a brief explanation of growth versus fixed mindsets, also how to set SMART goals. We're going to talk about the three-step formula to attaining genuine laughter. And our guest today is Laura West. She's the author and a speaker who has traveled across the country bringing laughter through tears to audiences of all ages. She teaches that if you have a pulse, you have a purpose. You can learn more about Laura at her own website at lolministryproduction.com. And also, she's available to come speak to you at your events via womenspeakers.com. So right now, I'm excited to welcome you, Laura.
Hey, Marty, it's good to see you.
Well, it's nice to be together. And I'm so glad you're here with us. I'm kind of excited about this topic because a lot of times, you know, we feel like it's easy to laugh when we're watching a funny video or when somebody told a really good joke. But beyond that, maybe sometimes we don't know like why or when or how.
Right. Exactly. And I think too, you know, when we're young, we laugh a lot. I had put down here on a study that when we're little, we laugh about 400 times a day. But then when we get old, we laugh maybe 20. And some of us don't even laugh 20 times a day. So what happens? What goes wrong? And I think life just happens, you know, and we take it serious. And so I think it is something we have to train ourselves to be able to get back to laughter and having that kind of attitude.
That's amazing. 400 to 20. That's just an astounding statistic.
It is. It really is.
And well, I know that sometimes when I belly laugh, you know, it's so good for us, right?
Oh, absolutely. And then that's part of the why. When you said, you know, when we were asking about the why, it's so many physical aspects help us in laughing. Right. Not only does it, you know, cause your belly to tighten up, it gives you some abs. It's good for your heart. It releases endorphins and helps you to get rid of anxiety and stress. People have been proven to lower their blood pressure just by laughing a few minutes a day, you know, so it's so many health benefits to laugh. And look, some of us need to overdose. That's all I'm going to say. So I'll overdose on laughter.
Well, I mean, it's better than drugs, right?
There you go. That's so true because, you know, Jesus gave us laughter, right? Yes. And I tell my ladies when I'm out speaking that laughter, you don't have to go to the doctor to get the prescription. He gave it to us as a medicine. You can share it with your friends and not worry about going to jail. You know, you don't have to run out and keep getting refills. But, you know, the greatest thing about laughter I have found is that the copay was paid over 2,000 years ago on a hill called Mount Calvary. He's already paid the price. And he looked down here. He knew we were a bunch of characters. He knew we needed something to get through life. And he gave us laughter.
You know? That's funny. We're a bunch of characters. I like that.
Yes, we are.
That's great. So God gave us laughter.
Yes,
And when you just said that right then, that was kind of an interesting thought. He paid for it 2,000 years ago that we can be free to really enjoy.
Right. He didn't give us life to give us life. He gave us life to give it to us more abundantly. Mm-hmm. So it should be overflowing. And you know, as well as I do from traveling and speaking, we go to a lot of places that people look like they serve the lemon juice for Lord's Supper. It does not look like grape juice. I mean, those looks on their faces, the sour faces, and you stand there and think, why? I mean, he's paid the price for everything, you know? Mm-hmm. And it even says in the Bible, I wrote these verses down in Job, it tells us in Job 8:21, he will fill your mouth with laughter. So he must want us to laugh if he's going to fill it with laughter. Like Ecclesiastes says, there's a time to laugh, right? There's a time to mourn. There's a time to laugh. Yeah. And in Psalms, it says, he who sits on the throne laughs. He laughs. Yeah. And I know that's true because he watches Laura West every day. I'm sure he gets a lot of kicks and just shakes his head a lot of times.
The Marnie Swedberg show.
There you go.
I love that. I love that. And he really wants us to experience the joy of the Lord. And we're going to talk about the difference between joy and happiness in a bit here. But you say there's certain times when you should actually laugh out loud.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, look, I don't want people to think this crazy lady goes to funerals and stands up and has a belly laugh. There is a time and place for that, you know, but I'll give you a real life example. With our daughter, Malika was born blind and burned in a tub of hot water by her birth mother when she was just 15 months old. And so you can imagine the burden of having that and this child having surgeries every time she grows. And we're in the hospital more than we're at home. And I remember this one particular time sitting in the waiting room and the doctor had called and said, it's going to be about a 4-hour procedure. When we're done, I'll call you. And we've all been there where we're waiting on a loved one in the back and that little phone rings sitting in the waiting room. And usually there's a volunteer that answers it. And she said, Miss West, telephone. Well, it'd only been 15 minutes. So I got a little scared. And I went to the phone and he was laughing. And he said, we've not put Malika to sleep yet, because when we went to put her to sleep, she went, who let the dogs out? And he said, the nurses got to laughing and we've been asking her to sing for the last 15 minutes. Aww. And I got tickled and I went back to my seat and a lady was there. She goes, is everything okay? And I said, yeah. So I start telling her Malika's story and what happened to her and what she just did back there. And she got to laughing. She thought it was the funniest thing. Everybody that would come in, she'd say, sit over here, tell them about your daughter. And I'd tell that story and we all laughed. And Marnie, 4 hours, it flew by. Now, was that wrong that all of us who had loved ones in the back were sitting in that waiting room laughing together? And I don't believe it was. We were an encouragement to each other. God gave us that time and that peace while he took care of the ones in the back for us.
You know, and I really feel like that's so much of the faith journey, right? Is to release God to be God.
Yeah.
And go ahead and live.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah.
But yeah, I have a saying, I say, I would be more faithful if it didn't look so irresponsible. So, it's kind of like what you're saying, you know, sometimes you're like, is this appropriate? Is it appropriate right here, right now? Right. But the thing is, if God's in control and he is, then why aren't we happy? Why aren't we at peace?
Exactly. Because we want to control everything. And when we feel like we're not in control, then we lose it and we lose our happiness, you know? And so we have to learn to give that to God and to let just roll. Like I said, I'm not sitting in funerals cracking up and laughing out loud, but in times like that, it's been a lifesaver over the years. John and I had 103 medically fragile foster babies in 12 years. Our home was a hospital ward. If we hadn't learned to laugh, we wouldn't have made it all those years. We would not have made it. You know, so Malika has taught me so much about laughter. I mean, walking through the house, bumping into stuff, making fun of herself, just not taking life so serious all the time, you know?
Right. Yeah. Right. So there's a question that comes up. Well, should we or shouldn't we laugh when somebody's sick or facing a failure or defeat? In fact, when my kids were young adults, they would sometimes say to me, Mom, I don't know if you really understand how serious this is. And I'm like, oh, baby, I do. I really do. I really do. Right. But I serve a great big God.
Right.
And we're just not going to sit around moping for days on end, you know?
Exactly right. When my dad was living with us and he was dying of cancer, he was the funniest man I've ever met in my life. He could make a joke out of anything. And I tell people all the time that I still had, and this might lead into the joy, happiness. I still had joy. I watched my daddy die in my arms. Okay. And that was not a happy occasion. Not at all. I wasn't happy. Yay, daddy's dying. But I did have a joy knowing soon he's going to be pain-free. Soon that cancer is going to be gone. Soon he's going to look in the face of Jesus and he's going to see his mama and his daddy and my brothers who have passed away. And that joy in return gives you strength. And then you can get through. That's how we've gotten through what we have with Malika all these years, is the joy has gotten us through. And learning to laugh and not take things so serious, you know? Look, none of us get out alive anyway, unless it raptures.
Right. So how about you're facing a failure now? You have done everything you knew to do. You're at the end of it. It flopped horribly. It doesn't look anything like what you expected. Maybe there's some money loss involved, some maybe humiliation, is it appropriate to laugh?
Yes and no. Again, it has to be a feeling that God gives you. There's nothing wrong with crying in the presence of God. I have done that more than I have laughed, you know. But then He takes the Bible tells us He takes our mourning, He turns it into joy. That's what He does for us. And if we can keep that in mind, today's a bad day. I've had a bad day today. Whatever you're facing, but you know what? Tomorrow is brand new. His mercies are new tomorrow. His joy is new tomorrow. And we're going to wake up tomorrow. He cares. Sometimes God lets you hit that rock bottom and cry those tears to bring joy, because the joy is coming. You know, suffering is optional. Pain is inevitable. You're going to have pain, but you choose whether you're going to suffer or not.
Mm-hmm. And then how about when it's another person's? It's not your failure. It's not your defeat. It's not your loss, but you're with another person. How do you know when it's appropriate to laugh and when maybe it's just plain not?
And I think that's going to be based on each case. I've got friends that I know that come to me, particularly when they're facing hard times, because they know I'm going to bring out the humor in it. But I've got others that you better not, you know, you better watch what you say to them, because they're going to take offense to that you're not pouting with me. Look, we can go through life and always find people to sit down and eat worms with. But it's very, very hard to find somebody that's going to come alongside you and say, cheer up, buttercup, put your chin up. Better days are coming. I know you're sad. I had a friend today that's called and just poured her heart out, something she's going through. And I listened and I sympathized with her. Let them know you understand.
Right.
Don't just overlook it and go straight to being funny and telling a knock-knock joke. I mean, nobody wants to hear, nobody wants to hear
right.
that.
Right, exactly.
Let them validate what they're feeling. And then before you get done, admonish them a little bit. Tell them what the Bible says about that. And then if you can throw in a joke at the end, I told the girl today, I said, tune in at 3:40 today. I will surely make you laugh and get your mind off this for a little while. You know?
Yeah. It is such a gift, really. It's really a gift. It's like saying, well, if you're grieving, you can't have anything to eat for weeks on end. Well, that would not work.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That's crazy, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and what is it? We'll go back again to Proverbs 17:22. Laughter is good like what? Medicine.
It is.
So when you're grieving and you feel like you failed or someone's hurt you, you've got to realize there's a medicine for that. And sitting around is not the medicine, but having joy and laughter. And so you got to find people that do that. You know, you got to find people and associate with those people.
And there just are people who just have the gift of laughter. Right. And who just bring it everywhere they go. There are other people who, you know, enjoy the laughter, but not so much can generate it.
And there's others that suck it right out of the room as soon as they walk in.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. So how do you laugh when it seems like nobody else is laughing at all?
I really spend a lot of alone time with God. I spend a lot of alone time with God in situations like that. And then I don't want to jump the gun on your interview, but that kind of is going to be answered in our SMART. A goal that we're going to, because you have to set goals to change your behavior, to change how you look at things, to change your attitude. And God can help you do that. If you ask for an attitude adjustment, He's the number one at giving it to you. He can do it.
Yeah, He is. And I like to remember that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So no joy, no strength.
That's right.
And so if you're feeling like you can't move forward, like you can't find joy, then that exhaustion, I mean, it's kind of a circular thing there.
Absolutely.
And the joy of the Lord is really what you're looking for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we get that confused in America where we have everything at our fingertips and we're spoiled rotten. And if we don't get everything that we want, then we think that's what our joy is based on. Well, I don't have this. I don't have that. That's a confusion with happiness, because happiness and joy are totally different. You know, happiness comes from happenings. What's happening in your life? You know, I got all the money I need right now. My husband's obeying me. My kids are being good. You know, I'm happy. But you let somebody pull out in front of you, you know, let a check bounce, all of a sudden that happiness is gone, right? And I like to tell people this. We put conditions on that happiness and joy. People will say, well, if I had more money, I'd be happy. You know, if I had a bigger house, I would be happy. If my kids got off drugs, I would be happy. And I think about Malika. What if Malika had said, if I wake up tomorrow and I have my vision, I'm going to be happy. 27 years of her life would have been miserable. Mm-hmm. It waste it, because every day she wakes up that she's still blind, but she doesn't. She instead focuses on the things that she does have, not the things she doesn't have. And I think I probably just got totally off topic with that, but when it hits you, it hits you.
No, I totally agree that, you know, all we have to do in order to suck the joy and the life out of ourselves is we just have to focus on what we don't have.
Right.
That somebody else might have, or that we might someday like to
have. There's always going to be somebody that has a better whatever than you have, you right. know? Mm-hmm. But when I thought about that with Malika, that changed my way of looking at everything because I can't imagine living that life and then, but she's the happiest person I've ever met, you know? Could God heal her? Yeah. He could heal her. She could wake up tomorrow and see and say, oh, I got a white mama, you know, cause she's black. That's okay. But if she doesn't see, is she still going to be happy? Yes. Because that's the joy of the Lord inside her.
Right, right. Yeah. That's good. I'm going to have to pause for just a second. Apologies for that. I am still getting over this crud here.
I know you're having a rough time, ain't you, girl?
I am. I'm so glad to have voice, though. I was interviewed on a different show last week, and the host was telling me that several years ago she had been asked to sing at a wedding of a friend, and she got laryngitis. She just begged God, please, could I just sing at this wedding? And God granted that to her. And so the day of the wedding, she had a voice enough. She went, she sang her heart out, went great. And then she had laryngitis for 3 months afterwards. When I was done talking to her the last week, I was like, okay, I'm just going to be grateful, even though my voice is not back and I'm still struggling. I'm going to just be grateful.
Oh, there you go. Absolutely.
But, you know what? I like that plaque that says there is always, always, always something for which to be grateful. And a lot of the joy that we experience comes from a heart of gratitude. That's kind of where the source of it comes, the joy of the Lord, joy in the Lord, you know? So, yeah.
Amen. The attitude of gratitude is everything.
For sure. Let's talk about the difference between growth versus fixed mindsets.
Okay. Well, if you talk about a growth mindset, that means you're a person that you thrive on challenges. You say, okay, I can't play soccer, but in 6 months, I'm going to be able to play soccer. And so you are thriving on that challenge. You challenge yourself. I can improve this area of my life or that area of my life. If you're a person with a fixed mindset, you have the attitude, well, I was just born this way. And I hate that. I hate when you meet somebody that could improve an area and they will say, well, God made me this way. Well, you know, maybe he did, maybe he didn't, but there's always room for improvement. So that fixed mindset will have you believing that you can't do other things. You and I were talking before we went on the air, this kind of thing. This is what I'm most uncomfortable doing is being on Facebook or something live where I have to see myself. I absolutely hate it. So I could say, God made me that way. All he wants me to do is be up in front of congregation speaking. That's it. But I have to challenge myself to have a growth mindset and say, okay, Laura, you can do this. Baby steps, set goals, and you can do this. So we all need to have, nobody should have a fixed mind. Only fixed mindset you should have is that Jesus is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, none other above him. That's the only fixed mindset. Everything else, we should always be growing until the day we die, all of us.
Well, and just based on the fact that the way God made our bodies, the body regenerates its entire self every 7 years.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, we never stop changing. Our bodies continually change all the way till we die. So it's clear that, and the other thing is how much capacity God gave us. I mean, it's incredible to me how much you can still learn.
Yeah.
You know, just your whole life, you can keep learning your whole life. People do it. They learn languages even and difficult things their whole lives. And of course, like for me, I think the technology thing has always been, you know, I remember years ago, I asked God, I was like, I don't think I'll be able to keep up with this. And this is already like, you know, 10, 15 years ago. And God was like, well, the thing is, you'll always be ahead of some people and you'll always not know as much as other people. So don't compare. Just know that I will help you with what you need.
When I got the email from you guys to sign up for the 15, 45 minute, whatever, I picked the short one and I don't know how I got switched to the long one. And then when I got the email back, it said to pick a topic And I didn't have any idea in my mind what you guys were really looking for. So I sent some topics in. Then I got an email back. It kind of combined one of my topics and turned it into this one. And then we needed the bullet points, the topic points, right? I literally was this close to sending a message saying, I don't think I'm ready for this yet. And my future daughter-in-law was sitting here. She said, you sit down on this couch beside me. And she grabbed her pen. She goes, we're going to do this. God wants you to do this. You're going to do this. And so I think there I was, my fixed mindset. This ain't for me. I can't do it. I've been speaking too 20 hard. Years and didn't want to come on this website like this because of my fixed mindset. You know, and God is slowly changing it with baby steps. He knows he has to use gloves with me because I'm a tough one. But I'm now turning into that growth mindset. I've got to do things different. I've got to step out and try different things. So this is one of them, you know.
You know, and I mean, I'm glad that you shared that story because there's other people watching that God's calling you to do something. And you're like, man, I don't know how to do that, or I don't want to do that, or that feels uncomfortable to me, or out of my comfort zone, or whatever. Yeah. It's interesting that between us, we were pulling you, your daughter-in-law. I mean, God will help you. If he wants you to move in a direction, he will help you. You're not alone.
That's right. He doesn't pull us or push us. He walks right beside us. Yeah. And he'll accomplish what he wants to accomplish if we just allow him to. That's what he's just looking for, willing vessels. That's what he's looking for.
Exactly. Right. Talk about SMART goals and what that means to you.
Well, when you think about anything in life needs a goal, right? We need to set goals. And when you think of a SMART goal, each letter stands for something different. If you were going to say, I'm going to lose weight, and so I've got to set the SMART goal. I got to be specific on my weight loss. What am I going to do to lose this weight? And then the M, I got to measure. How am I going to measure it? I'm going to weigh once a week. You know, you go through the letters in SMART for anything. And I thought, well, can we do that to learn how to laugh out loud? Why not? So if you're a person that just takes life way too serious, get a pen and paper. You need to write this down and you need to challenge yourself to be specific. The S is for specific. What do I want to do? A year from now, I want to be able to laugh at things. I don't want to be the sourpuss in the room. I want to be the person that when people see I have joy on my face. Set yourself some goals. How am I going to be positive when I go through hard times? Because we're all going to go through them. Every last one of us are going to go through hard times. And then the M, you have to be measurable. How are you going to be able to tell, are you growing? I would suggest keep a journal. Write down each day. Today, this is such and such happened. This was my response. 6 months from now, look back and say, oh, wow, I really acted bad 6 months ago when this happened. But today, or vlog yourself, you know, do a video log. The A stands for achievable. Know that it can be achieved. You know, I can do this. Be confident. Have that growth mindset that you can laugh even when your money's not in the bank, even when you and your husband are fighting. I can find joy to get me through this hard time. Let the R be for relevant. In other words, is this realistic? Okay, Marnie, am I being realistic? Can we all truly laugh all the time? Yes, we can. We could have this joy or he wouldn't have said that we could. So yes, it is realistic, you know? And then the T is have a time for it. A time bound, like, okay, a year from now, I'm going to measure my progress, or 6 months from now, do something realistic and watch and see if you don't see yourself grow. And this SMART technique can be used in every area of our life, everything. Set yourself some goals. I saw a saying the other day, it says, a plan without goals is just a dream. You know, you have to have goals. If you just have it in your head, I'm going to do this, but you don't set down goals to follow, you're just dreaming. It's just a wish. You might never get there.
I think really small incremental goals too are so helpful. Like just say, I just commit to every day finding something to laugh about just every day. And I'm just going to look. And if I don't find anything during the day before I shut my eyes at night, I'm just going to laugh out loud just because I can.
That's right.
You know,
I spoke at an event one time and they were doing one of their breaks they took during the day. They were doing yoga and it was called laughing yoga. And I thought, you know, what is this? And it's actually, they go in a room and start stretches and they just laugh. Well, you know what happens when you laugh, I crack up because you're laughing. Then you laugh because I'm laughing.
Right.
So she's crazy. Everybody just ends up laughing. And if you're just walking by the room, you think there's a bunch of nuts in there. They need to be in a sideboard somewhere. But if you walk in the room and join them, you realize, man, and 10
this is
minutes,
fun, yeah.
Yeah, 10 minutes of laughing, hard laughing like that is equivalent to an hour on a treadmill.
Nice.
I'd rather laugh for 10 minutes than walk on the treadmill any day of the week, you know?
I love that. That's really funny. That's really funny. Yeah. I know when I started this radio show back in 2009, I had been previously what I had done was teleconferences. So I'd give people a number and then 100 gals could come on and we'd have this telephone call and I would train or whatever. And then we went to the radio show and started having guests on. And I thought, you know, what is my goal for this? Like, what do I want to do? And what I really wanted to do is I wanted every single show to have people leave knowing how to do something that when they came, they maybe didn't know quite how to do it. But right. when they left, they knew how to actually apply it and they were ready to go do it. And one of the other goals was that every single show we would laugh. Somewhere yep. in the show, we would laugh. And it was a commitment I made at the beginning. And it's been so fun to have that, you know, it's that old saying, you know, a little sugar makes the medicine go down, you know, and it just yeah. laughter does. It really helps whatever you're yeah. trying to accomplish. Laughter helps.
And, you know, I tell the ladies when I'm speaking, if you can't laugh at yourself, that's an indication of too much pride. Mm. We all mess up and we all do things that we shouldn't, but let's laugh at ourselves. You know, when you do something dumb and, you know, just laugh at yourself. And when you can do that, then others will laugh with you. But some people get so mad if you laugh at them, if they do something dumb and you laugh and they're like, that wasn't meant to be funny. Yes, but it was. So, you know, you did good. Pat yourself on the back. You made everybody around you laugh. Sometimes pride keeps us from doing that. It really does.
Yeah. And it is hard, you know, when you didn't expect to have people laughing at you, you know, I mean, I think it is really hard, but if you can just recognize that this just proves you're a human being, that's right. all it proves. It doesn't prove anything more than that. It that's just right. proves you're a human and you already knew that kind of deep down. So yeah. you'll be all right.
That's right. You'll be all right.
What's your three-step formula for attaining genuine laughter?
I think this works across the board for everybody. It's a simple word, three steps, and the word is joy, which will bring you joy. And that is learn to put Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. In my personal life, when John and I got married, we couldn't have kids. And I was the most miserable person you ever met in your life. I never had a reason to laugh or smile. I was mad every month when I started my period. I'm like, oh, why is God doing this to me? And so one day I had to call an evangelist friend of mine who's gone to be with Jesus now, but his name was Bailey Smith. And I called Bailey and I said, I'm so mad at God that he won't let me have a baby. I mean, John and I go to church. We live for Jesus. There's mothers out there abusing kids, doing drugs, having abortions. And he said, stop feeling sorry for yourself and do something for somebody else. I said, well, what do you mean by that? And he said, you need to be a foster mom. So I went to John and said, Bailey says we should be foster parents. John said, okay. So see, we consulted Jesus by going to a man of God we trusted. Mm-hmm. Pray and talk with us. The next step, we went to others. We started opening our homes to all these medically fragile foster babies. Wow. And you know what happened 12 years later? God gave me the desire of my heart and I had a son of my own. So it's like a circle, you know, put Jesus first, others, yourself, your needs will be met. They always will be when you're helping meet other people's needs, he comes along. There was something he needed to accomplish in my life. And so that's why I say, I can tell people, you know, it didn't get me any further by having a bad attitude about not having a baby. It didn't get me any further in life. But once I put all that energy on helping other people who did have babies that couldn't take care of them, the light came on. I was happy. I was the happiest I've ever been in my life opening my home to those foster kids, you know. And then when I wasn't even expecting it, I started throwing up and I was pregnant. And God blessed us. You know? My daughter was 16 when Jordan came along. And it was all about his timing. And so you'll never convince me that the formula joy does not work. So today, if you're struggling and you feel like nothing's going my way, pray and seek Jesus and help other people and watch him meet your needs. It works every time.
I want to just unpack this with you just a little bit, because one of the things that I spend a lot of time teaching is that God wants us to really be kind to ourselves and that we can't give away something we don't have. If I don't have joy, I can't give it. If I don't have money, I can't give it. If I don't have whatever, I can't give it, right? So when he's giving us the new laws in the New Testament, it's you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. So we've got 9 times there that he uses the word you. And so when I hear this joy, and I totally agree with you, but I want to come back around here. When I hear this joy, Jesus others you, it kind of seems like it fights a little bit with the principle that we have to start with us first, because we actually do have to start with us first, with us and Jesus first, and then we can go out to others. But I was just thinking, as you were talking about joy, and that's a specific word talking about a specific, it's not just an emotion. Joy right. is so much more than an emotion. I don't even know what it, what else it is. I don't know, but it's so much more than an emotion. Like happiness is more like an emotion.
Exactly.
And joy is like this rock solid, confidence
that everything else is built on. It's a foundation that's not going to be changed by what's going on around you.
Right. Right. But I think that when we're missing joy, I think a lot of times it is because we have gotten the you part, the me part, so big in this whole picture that we that the path out of that is through serving others. And I totally agree. But I also know that God wants you, listener, he wants you, Laura, he wants me to have this personal relationship with him that comes first and comes in priority to the relationships we have with others. I mean, if I was in a pit, I would still be able to have joy, even if there was nobody else there to serve, right?
Yeah. Right, you should, yeah.
Yes, yeah. exactly. So we know that this relationship we have with God is where the joy comes from, but the actual path.
Well, hello. That was a total meltdown.
It just went away. Hey, let's make a joke about it.
That's right. That's right. You're still here. I can't believe it. My computer just totally crashed there.
Oh, man.
You know what? We were getting pretty close to the end. So let's just go ahead and wrap this up.
Okay.
Talking about, the J-O-I. Why three-step formula for genuine laughter being Jesus, others, and then ourselves, you. And so was there anything else that you wanted to just finish there?
I love the saying, you can help finish it. He who laughs last, he who laughs, all the different ways that we could finish that, right? I want us to finish it by saying, he who laughs last. The ones that laugh will last, because you're going to live younger. You're going to live longer. You're going to have more energy. It's going to do all these things for you. And so my challenge today to anybody listening, I want to ask you, have you laughed today? They should laugh at me and you, all this craziness. We
right, right.
Yeah, we did that just for y'all. And some of y'all might say, Laura, I can't tell you the last time I laughed. Let me challenge you today. When you get done with this, pray and say, God, please give me that laughter. Give me an attitude. We talked about an attitude. Give me an attitude of laughter. Let me experience what she's talking about. Apply the SMART goals, challenge yourself, and look for humor in everything that you go through.
I love that. My sister, when she was diagnosed with advanced cancer, God just encouraged her to laugh every day. And she'd collect jokes. She would watch funny videos. I mean, she really worked at it. And it made a huge difference. Yeah.
Absolutely.
She is alive and cancer-free today. So
praise God.
Yeah. It doesn't always work that way, but it does definitely help to laugh. Well, you guys, I want to make sure that you know how to get a hold of Laura. Her website is lolministryproduction.com. And you can go over there. And when they get there, what are they going to find?
They're going to find some stories. They're going to see the backdrop to what happened in our lives to get me into this ministry. They're going to see my daughter, Malika. They're going to see her sing. They're going to see me dressed like a fat lady, a grouchy Christian in church, making jokes. And they're going to see all sorts of things. You'll cry a little bit. You'll laugh a little bit, but you're going to cry for good reasons, not sad reasons. So go look at it. Look at the pictures. Meet Malika. Meet Doodles, the wonderful service dog, and book us for your event. You'll be glad that you did.
Oh, that's just awesome. And right, you can, again, invite Laura for your events over at womenspeakers.com or through her own website. So thank you so much for being here. Thanks for your patience as the whole thing blew up and you just sitting there waiting for me to come back. That's awesome. Thanks you guys for joining us. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye now.